at the same time, I have a great heaviness in my heart for those who don't have an interest in the gospel, for those who seem to pay little attention to what's being preached. I wonder sometimes when I'm preaching, I wonder if folks realize that the preacher can see who's in the audience, you know. It's like we forget, I think, sometimes. But for those who don't see the need of hearing the gospel, who don't see the need of God's grace, let me first appeal to you just from a point of courtesy. Have you ever considered that the believers that are here work very hard for the money that they give to pay the bills just so you can hear the gospel preached? Have you ever considered that some arrive early and set everything up, and some stay late, take everything down, just so you can come in and sit and open your Bible and hear the gospel preached? Have you ever considered the labor that goes into preparing 3, sometimes 4 messages a week? It takes all day, every day, sometimes into the night, to try to get a message from God. Not just prepare a sermon, but to plead with God to give a message for His people, for the hour in which you're to stand and preach. And then, have you ever considered that your name is being brought before God, before His throne of grace, youngest to oldest, asking God that if it's His will, that He'd have mercy on you? Have you ever considered the sorrow that it causes after you've studied and you've labored and you've worked to get a message, and then you come and you get here, you think you've got a message that'll be just the thing that's needful, and you get here and they're not here? Or if they are here, they don't bother to open the Bible, don't bother to pay attention, don't act like they even concerned whatsoever. I realize that we have things that we have to do. I realize there are things that come up. We get sick, other things, that we can't always be here. But I'm talking about the general course of the situation. And I realize this. I realize this is my comfort. This is my assurance. I know that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I know that except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. But as long as I'm preaching, if I ever cease to have this burden for you, I'll step aside and somebody else can preach in my place, and I should, because as long as I'm sent to minister to you, this is the burden I have for those that I'm preaching to. I want you to hear the good news of the gospel. I mean with the heart. I mean savingly. Savingly. Now, those are all just things that appeal to the natural reason. I mean, that's just common courtesy right there to take those reasons and those considerations. But there are reasons that are much more to your own personal advantage, and those are the reasons I want to speak to you about this morning. I have a message here for you concerning these important considerations. And I want you to take your Bible now, and I want you to open it. And if you don't have a Bible to open, there's some back there on the back, and I'll wait on you to get one, because this is important. I want you to read along with me in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 9, that's where we're going to be. Hebrews 9. My subject is 3 certainties. 3 certainties. The first certainty that I'm going to talk about is certain for everybody here. If our Lord doesn't return first, this is certain for every one of us sitting here. And then the second is certain for everybody who meets God outside of Christ. It's a certain. And the third thing is certain for all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, we're going to deal with the context of the passage in just a moment, but let's just look at the divisions we're going to look at here first. First of all, death is certain. Death is certain. Look at verse 27. As it is appointed unto men once to die. Death is not by accident. It's not by chance, but it's by the appointment of God. As it is appointed unto men once to die. If our Lord doesn't return first, everyone here will die. We will die physically, every one of us. As it is appointed unto men once to die. Here's the second certainty, is judgment. Verse 27, but after this, the judgment. Death will not get us off the hook with God. Death won't get us off the hook. After death is the judgment. Whether you pay attention or you don't, whether you heed the word of God or you don't, sooner or later, you will do business with God. You're going to meet God in judgment. After death, the judgment. But thirdly, this is certain. For everyone who rests in Christ by faith, trust in Christ, they certainly shall be saved. Everyone. Verse 28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now we're going to look at the context when we get to this third point. But let me just look at these first two points first. The first thing we see here is death is certain. It's certain. Verse 27 says, as it is appointed unto men once to die. Now man is to blame for death. Man is to blame for death. God is life, and life is of God. Death is because of man. Holy beings never die. Death is the result of man's sin. In the first state in which God created Adam, he had no sin to cause him to die. Absolutely no sin. Look at Genesis chapter 2. God declared to Adam that death would be the result of disobeying God. Look at Genesis 2:17. God told Adam, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Adam ate it. And now look at Genesis 3:19. God said, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. That means everything you do in this life is going to be full of tribulation. It's going to be full of sorrow. In the sweat of your face you'll eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now that's why we die. Look at Romans 5. Look at Romans chapter 5. Verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Look down at verse 17. It says there if by one man's offense death reigned by one. Death has dominion. It reigns. It reigned because of that one offense. Look down at verse 21. Sin hath reigned unto death. There's no escaping it. It's a tyrant. Sin hath reigned unto death. Look at Romans 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin, the payment of sin, is death. It's death. So it's appointed unto men. Death is appointed unto men. To the whole race, once to die. It's appointed unto men once to die. All flesh is conceived of our first father Adam in sin. All are sinners. So therefore, all flesh shall die physically. Every death, believer and unbeliever, every death demonstrates that in our flesh dwells only sin. Romans 8 says, if the Spirit of God dwell in you, speaking to believers, if the Spirit of God dwell in you, the body is dead because of sin. And it's still going to go back to the dust. We're going to die physically. So the death is a demonstration that everybody, all of us, are sin in our flesh. And that's all it is sin. For as in Adam, all die. That's the scripture. Now, most fear death. Most people fear death. And so death's one of the few things there is that will get our attention. It's one of the few things that'll make us think about the fact that we're going to meet God one of these days. That's why Ecclesiastes 7:2 says it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. It's better to go to the funeral home where you have a loved one lying there, because it's the end of all men, and the living, us who go there, will lay it to his heart. We'll think about it. We'll think about it. Anytime somebody close to us dies, we're forced to acknowledge that we too shall face death very soon. It hits home to us. It makes us remember that. And for a while, we'll remember it. Every year when it comes around, we'll remember it till we're so hard in sin, we'll forget it eventually. But we remember it every year it comes around. So it's good in the sense that it continually makes us think about the fact that we're going to die. We are going to die. One of the things that moved me to preach on this, that got me thinking about this, is this week was the anniversary of Scott and Cheryl's brother Kurt's death back in 2006. And he was the uncle of most of these young people sitting here. And that's what got me to thinking about it. I've never mentioned it before to you, but it's always been evident to me every year about this time that you're thinking about it. But I thought I would just bring it up this time, because maybe God will use that to get your attention. It'll make you face the fact you're going to die. You may have a lot of questions about his death and a lot of unanswered questions about it, but this is certain. The time of his death was appointed by God. It was appointed, and yours is too, and so is mine. It was appointed by God. Absolutely. You may miss every other appointment that you have in this earth and be late for it and not show up on time. You won't be late for this one. You'll meet this appointment right at the set time. It is appointed by God, the time that we will die. And there's no exceptions with this. There's no way to escape it. Whether you're young, you go out to the cemetery sometime and see how many grave sites you find out there that only some of them are only 3-4 feet long. Right? There's no exceptions, young and old. There's no exceptions for the rich or for the poor, for the male or the female. You're going to die, and I'm going to die. We started dying the day we were born. We started dying, and we're going to die. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Today is the day for us to prepare for that day, for the day of death. When I preach the gospel to you, I'm not so much preaching to you about how to live as I am about how to die. James 4:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Now, above everything else that I mentioned in the beginning, this fact that you and I must die, this fact alone, and very soon, that ought to wake us up. That ought to make us pay attention to what God says, to hang on the Word of God and pay attention to what He says. It should be a constant reminder to us that we're sin. That's what we are. We're sin. And we're going to die very soon. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember now in the days of thy youth. while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now that's the first certainty. We shall die. Here's the second certainty. Not only is death certain, but also the judgment of God is certain. Look at verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, think about this. If you had committed a crime, and you're guilty, and you're going to face the death penalty, you're going to go before a judge, and your case is the most serious case that can be tried, and you got to go before a judge, and your lawyer, your advocate, he tells you, now you be at this meeting and to meet with me, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. And I'm going to tell you how you can be spared when you come before this judge. I guarantee you, you'd make every meeting that lawyer had with you, and you'd listen to every word he had to say, and you'd read everything he wrote in writing, and you'd read the fine print on everything and make sure you paid attention to every word that's spoken. You're coming before a judge. Well, when we gather here together, this is the meeting that the lawyer has called, that the advocate of his people has called. And he's telling his people through this gospel, I'm talking about Christ, he's declaring to his people through this gospel how it is that he's going to bring us before the judge, and so that we don't have the death sentence passed upon us. That's what this is. And yet, our heart is so hard that we don't even pay attention. We don't even listen. We don't even show up to the meeting. Now, I'm here to preach to you that Christ Jesus, who alone is able to save you from your sin, who is the only one who can save us from our sin, he's not only the advocate of his people, he's the judge. He's the judge. Acts 10:42. It says, He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick, those that are quickened, made alive by grace, and dead, and the dead, those that meet Him without spiritual life. John 5:22. Look there with me. John 5:22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. This is Christ speaking. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which is sinning. Look over at Romans 2. Romans 2. And yet this is the sad fact. Now you hear me telling you this. You hear me telling you that you're coming before this judge. You hear me telling you that your case is the worst that can be tried because you're guilty, and the death sentence is what we're talking about here, and yet hearing, and I tell you, this is the meeting. This is where he's going to tell you how it is you can be spared, and yet the heart is so hard. The heart is so hard that we'll try to come up with any excuse we can to get out of the meeting. Knowing this is the case, seeing our loved ones die, and knowing we're going to meet God, yet we try to get out of this just coming to hear the gospel preached. Look at this, Romans 2:5. But after thy hardness and impenitent, unrepentant heart, you treasure up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, and the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. You see, the issue is condemnation. The issue is all unbelievers are condemned already. Already, we come into this world condemned. All who don't believe on Christ are under condemnation. In John 3:18, the Lord said this. He said, He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You see, the light's come to this place. The light's come through the gospel to you who sit here. And yet men's hearts are so dark and their evil, deeds so evil, and they're under the condemnation so much so that unless God speak life into us and give us life and light and an understanding to see our need of Him, we'll just put it off. We'll look at the ceiling. We'll look at the floor. We'll look out the window. We'll just throw anything in the world to try to get it out of our mind. And we're just treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath and against the judgment. Let me appeal to you from another just common sense thing. If a doctor told you that you've been diagnosed with an illness that's going to surely end in death, it's going to end in your death, would you receive his instruction and pay attention to him and do everything he tells you to do? Would you take the medicine that he prescribes for you and says this is going to be the only thing that will save you? Well, I bet we would. I bet we would do everything that doctor said, make every appointment that doctor set for us, take every medicine that he said to take, because if we don't, we're going to die. You see, we don't really believe what the great physician's telling us. We don't believe what Christ, the great physician, is telling us. He's telling us, you have a terminal illness, and you're going to die. And he's telling us, this is the only way you're going to be saved. The only way. And yet we think, he don't know what he's talking about. And just pay it no attention. You don't want to enter into judgment with God. The psalmist, a believer, who made us see his sin, know what he is, said this, enter not into judgment with thy servant, O Lord, for in thy sight shall no flesh living be justified. Just won't happen. And yet sinners just ignore the truth. You look for reasons to absent yourself from hearing the gospel of Christ, from hearing the only one who can save from our sin. If you do come, you don't bother to listen. And yet listen to this. The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he raised him from the dead. That man, Christ Jesus the Lord, is the one by whom this whole world shall be judged. He's that one. All right, so death is certain. We know that. And then after that, judgment is certain. All right, now let's look at this third thing. This third thing is certain. For those who believe on Christ, salvation is certain. It's certain. Look at verse. Now let's look at the context now. Look at verse 24, Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which were just figures of the true holy place, pictures of the true holy place. He was talking to Hebrews, and he's saying there was a tabernacle made that had a holy place in it, the holiest of holies. And once in a year, the high priest went into that holy place with the blood of a lamb. And he sprinkled that blood of that lamb on the mercy seat over the broken law. And he's telling us that Christ is that seat of mercy. He's telling us Christ is the Lamb. His blood is the one who makes propitiation for the satisfaction for the sins of the people. He's the high priest. And he tells us here now, he didn't go into a holy place made with hands. That was just a figure. That was a picture. So you and I can get it in our minds. But he tells us here, but he went into heaven itself. That's what the holiest of holies pictured. He went into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered the holy place every year with the blood of others. He went in there every year, and he went in there with the blood of of another. He went in there with the blood of a lamb. But he tells us here, for then, verse 26, for then must Christ often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, one time, in the end of the world, hath he appeared. Now here's what he came to do. Read this with me. To put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's what he came to do. To put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die. That's why he says that. Telling us that Christ just did this one time. Just like it's appointed unto men just to die once. Christ died once. He did this once. And he says, and after this, the judgment. There was a judgment involved in what Christ did. And he says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Now, God the Eternal Son became a man because those he came to die for were men. Those that the Father gave him to redeem were flesh and blood. So he took part of flesh and blood. God can't die. He's life. He's eternal. He cannot die. So God the Son could not die. Man can't redeem. Man can't make eternal satisfaction to God. But the God-man, Christ Jesus, who is God and man in one person, he can do both. He could lay down his life in that body that God gave him and die. And because he offered himself through the eternal Spirit, what he accomplished at Calvary has eternal efficacy. It's eternal in what he did. So what did he do? He did what Christ sent him to, or what God the Father sent him to do. Christ sacrificed himself for his people. Now, he walked this earth and he proved that he was perfect, that he was just. The lamb in the Old Testament, they put the lamb up and they had to look at that lamb and make sure, examine it, and make sure that that lamb was perfect and spotless and had absolutely no blemish in it. Because if it had a blemish in it, it could not be used to put away sin. Because that blemish would be a picture of sin. And if a man is a sinner, he can't do anything for any other sinner. Well, Christ proved himself as he walked this earth to be without sin. He's the spotless Lamb of God, just. And so therefore, he's fit now to offer that body that God prepared for him. And that's what he did. He sacrificed himself. He took our sins, the sins of many. He took those sins upon himself. And he bare the sins of many. And he himself, having borne the sins of many, justly bore the judgment of God for the sins that he was made. He bore the judgment of God due to those, that judgment that was due to those that he represented. And so the fact that God then raised him from the dead after he died, after he laid down his life, declares that for each of those many whom he represented, this is what happened. They had their sin put away, so that they shall not die spiritually. They had their sin put away. The only reason a man dies is sin. And so for those who he put sin away, they won't die spiritually, eternally. They will not die. And so because he bore their judgment, they had their judgment settled with God, so that they shall not be judged a second time for their sin. He settled it. Now look at verse 28. Unto them, each one of this many for whom he died, they're going to be quickened to life by the Holy Spirit of God so they can receive this good news. And he says, verse 28, unto them that look for him. You see, the good news is this. The good news is that eternal salvation is in a look. It's in a look. He died unto sin once. It's done. He satisfied justice for each one for whom he died. It's done. There's no more offering for sin. Nothing else for you and I to offer. It's done. There's no more work to be done by those for whom he finished the work. All is done. believing Christ is looking to Christ. It's looking to Him. And those who look to Him never stop looking to Him. We live by faith. We live looking to Him, watching for Him, waiting for Him. And verse 28 again says, "And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin." Last time we saw Him, He went into that tomb. He was hanging on that cross, made the sin of His people, bearing the judgment of God for His people. And He went into that grave. But when He's coming back without sin. He's put it away. And He's coming back, and our Lord's assurance is everybody that's looking for Him, believing on Him, resting in Him, trusting Him, He's our righteousness with God. So that our advocate, this one who has done all this for us and satisfied justice for us, He's also the one who's the judge. So that in that day, when we die physically, we'll be with Him immediately, and we won't come into condemnation. Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection, and I am the life." And He said, "He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die." Do you believe that? That's the truth. And He said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation." There won't be a judgment for him to come into condemnation, but he's passed from death to life. You see, you sitting here now that don't have Christ, you look towards death, scared to death, fearful of it, because you know in your heart, when you die, you're going to come into judgment. And you're going to meet God. And you're going to be found guilty. And God's going to... Then you'll die the second death, which is not just a death and it's over with. It's the worm that never dies. It's eternal suffering and separation from God with a full, complete awareness of everything that you could have had and all the truth that Christ is and all the full awareness that the only one to blame for where you are is you. But believers don't look for it that way. By His electing, redeeming, regenerating, preserving grace, we're looking for Christ, who shall appear in all His glory to usher us in to that eternal salvation which He accomplished for us. And we shall be changed into His own blessed likeness to be with Him as the companions of His heart forever. I can't even think of the bliss of it. I can't even begin to try to describe it. Now, sinner, you sitting here listening to me. This is why I tell you, take a Bible, and I'm being kind to you. You know what I want to say? I want to say, "Hey, dummy, pick up a Bible and open it up. Pay attention." That's what I want to say. I guess I just said it, didn't I? But it's that serious. If you were in a burning building, it was fixing to cave in on you and you were fixing to perish in that building, I wouldn't just stand there and say, "I want to be nice and I don't want to hurt his feelings," and tell him that he's about to die and get his little butt burned up. I would yell with everything I had or rush in there and grab you and say, "Get out of here now!" And that's what I'm saying to you. And if you think that's unkind, you just have to think it. Just have to think it. Heed this word now. Hear this message now. Be wise now and seek to hear the message and seek to hear Him and understand Him and know Him. It's why you can. That's what I'm saying to you. And you who believe Him, look to Him. Don't stop looking to Him. Don't let this world turn you aside. Don't let this world make you think you got to get more of it or you can't get by. We got to have Christ and Christ only. Keep looking to Him because He's coming again as quick as a vapor vanishes in the noonday sun. And we're going to be with Him forever. So keep looking to Him. All right. Amen.